Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Great to be with you this evening. I am doing a special interview with Daniel Seckham because he doesn't want to do 3 o'clock in the morning anymore. And I totally understand the reason why. He's going to be joining me in just a little bit, and we're going to do our conversation or have our interview this evening. And I believe it's probably around 11 o'clock in the morning in Australia, while it is 7 o'clock here, Central Standard Time. And I wanted to take a few minutes before Daniel joins us on the air to remind our listeners about December 7th at 3 p.m. December 7th at 3 p.m. We are going to call forth, we are doing it right now, a rallying cry of every person that voted for Donald J. Trump. Would to God that every true Christian in this country would have voted for Donald J. Trump as the president. And we are now calling for December 7th to be a real rallying cry for millions of God's kids, millions of patriots, millions of Christians, millions of people by the tune of 72 to 80 million people voted for the president. We can't think that we did our part and that's it. We are in a battle for the presidency of the United States of America. We are patterning what we are wanting to do in 1 Kings chapter 1. And that, of course, is the story of Adonijah trying to steal the throne. This is Joe Biden and the left. And when David found out about it from the prophet Nathan and Bathsheba, his wife, there was a change. And the declaration came, Solomon shall be the king. And so David rallied the troops, told them what to do. They took Solomon down to Gihon. They anointed him, inaugurated him, put him on the donkey, David's donkey, brought him back to Jerusalem and sat him on the throne, Solomon on the throne. And the Bible tells us that the people rejoiced so greatly that it shook the earth, that the earth shook and there was a sound throughout the land. And Adonijah, while they were finishing up their feasting time, and all the people that were with him heard the sound, and they wanted to know what it was. And a gentleman by the name of Jonathan came into the camp at that moment and began to declare to the people that David had ordained Solomon to be the king. Well, when the people that were supporting Adonijah had heard that, they went back to their homes terrified. And Adonijah was so terrified himself that he grabbed hold of the horns of the altar and begged for his life. What we want to see in this country, for the right, for the conservatives, for Christians, for people that enjoy the fact that three Supreme Court justices were put on the bench, they are conservatives, that there were judges, over 300 judges throughout the nation that were put on the bench in the Donald Trump presidency, and so many other things for pro-life. Battle has been raging. Now we have to do more than just go to the voting booth. Now, what every person that voted for Donald J. Trump needs to do, there are 50 states in our union, and there needs to be 1 million people from every state show up in the Capitol. All 50 state capitals should have 1 million people gathered together. I know it's a high calling. I know it sounds impossible. I know it's late in the hour. But by December 14th, things are going to accelerate into another gear. There has been no concession by the president. There is a battle being fought in the courts. There are recounts going on all over the country. We cannot be distracted and not do so. While we celebrate this week of Thanksgiving, we are also preparing for 2 weeks from now, Monday, December 7th. We here in Northwest Arkansas are going to be traveling down to Little Rock, and we are going to be gathering together, and the call has gone out. People everywhere are bringing this message, and it's going like wildfire, and it cannot stop. And if you are hearing the sound of my voice right now, you need to know that this is a God-ordained moment for this nation. This is not just pulling things out of thin air. The gentleman that you're listening to tonight had a dream over a year ago that Joe Biden won the election. I shared that dream on AM/FM radio stations. I shared it on this platform and three other platforms. I spoke it behind our pulpit. I told people what the dream was. Joe Biden was wearing a blue suit. He had a blue tie. He was walking through one of the underground tunnels. He had won the election, but something was wrong. Something was terribly wrong. He was not rejoicing or celebrating. There was concern, deep concern, in Joe Biden. I woke up from that dream. I shared that dream. My friends told me that was a nightmare. We agreed. There were still 21 candidates running from the left. Nobody would have ever dreamed that Joe Biden would have won the election, according to what CNN and the news media sell, and even Fox News at this point. So they've made a declaration, but a couple of weeks ago, on a Saturday evening at 1 o'clock in the morning, I was praying and I was asking the Lord, because the elections had come, the news media was putting it out there that Joe Biden had won. And I asked the Lord, why did you show me this dream? I heard in my spirit, 2 Chronicles chapter 8 is the answer. I opened my Bible. I read it. It meant nothing to me. It was about Solomon building cities, building walls. It was all about his accomplishments. I didn't get anything. I shut my Bible. I went upstairs. I crawled into bed. I hit the pillow. I woke up in the morning. The very first thought in my mind, how did Solomon come to the throne? And I had remembered a story. I searched it out. And in 1 Kings chapter 1, I found the story of Adonijah. And I went to church Saturday evening and Sunday. I preached on this on Sunday. And Sunday at 2 o'clock, it's on Facebook. You can go back and hear it two Sundays ago. And I preached this message out of 1 Kings and said to the people, we need to do something. We need to do something. We need to rally together. We need to gather together. The very next day on Newsmax News Channel, it's 2076 here in Northwest Arkansas, Newsmax was showing that there was a rally going on November 14th in Washington, D.C. And I thought how odd that is, that there's a rally going on. Newsmax is talking about a gathering together to support the president. Well, me and two other people got together. We drove to Washington, D.C. We marched with what I believe was well over a half a million people. You know, I could only judge it by college stadiums on a football game on a Saturday where there's 80 to 100,000 people, where there were a lot more than that scattered throughout all of Washington, D.C. The group itself was easy 100,000 people. So we know that the numbers were way up there. We were marching with them. And we heard Alex Jones and we heard Mike Lindell, the MyPillow guy. We heard Congress people from different states, Congresswomen from different states. We were there. That evening, there was a problem with Antifa. We happened to be in the mix of that. And the three percenters, the Proud Boys, the Oath Keepers were pursuing them. They were pursuing them. Antifa was. And the police were everywhere that night. Tear gas was flown, pepper spray, fists were flying. There was a lot of going on to, you know, show that this is a clashing moment. Well, when we finally returned home and I had time to pray about and think about what happened in Washington, D.C., I thought by the Holy Spirit it was good, but it was not strong enough. And so a call went out. Gather the people together. Get them mobilized. Send the people to their state capitals. Bow in humble contrition. Rise in holy conviction. Declare Donald J. Trump to be the president of the United States, a decree. And what I'm seeing in all of this is that we, the people of the United States of America, who voted for Donald J. Trump, who do not want to be ripped off or lied to by false voting machines and all these fraudulent votes that came in that are becoming apparent now, we are going to inaugurate, ordain, and declare on December 7th at 3 p.m. Eastern Time in the United States that Donald J. Trump is the president of the United States. The sound wave that will hit this nation if all 50 states gather at the state capitol building. If you cannot get to the state capitol building, you have a living room, a kitchen, a bedroom. There's got to be a place where at 3 o'clock Eastern time. So if you're in California, that's 12 o'clock your time. You're in Colorado, Mountain Time, that's 1 o'clock your time. You're in Central Standard Time, that's 2 o'clock our time, 3 o'clock East Coast. So at 3 o'clock, synchronize every person, grandmas, grandpas, kids, 3 o'clock Eastern Time, bow the knee, humble contrition, forgive us for our sins, pray for humble repentance before God, confession before God, rise up and make the declaration. And there's going to be a very specific prayer that we are going to be praying on December 7th at 3 p.m. For the people that will go to the state capitals, we're going to do this corporately. And on that day at 3:05, there is going to be a shout. There is going to be a sound. It is going to be released through the body of Christ, a heavenly sound. It is going to cause the earth to shake. The spiritual shaking is going to shake Joe Biden out of position with all of his people, and it is going to shake Donald J. Trump into position in the spirit world. After we do this on December 7th, I believe the rest will be done officially, that we're actually going to see that 12th Amendment to the Constitution, where it goes to the House of Representatives, and all things involved, it's very involved, but I believe they're going to come into divine order. And so this is the call. This is the time. We are in a week of Thanksgiving. It's a time to give praise to God, to bless the Lord, to thank the Lord for everything. What we're asking is that you would contact every pastor you know with this message, that you would get this message out all over the nation. Send it to the Franklin Grahams. Send it. We have been doing this. We are working with a number of people. I've stepped up to the plate here in Northwest Arkansas, and hopefully you are doing the same thing. It's a little bit more labor. I know we want to recline. I know we want to relax. I know it's been a hard season. It reminds me of the disciples when the multitudes were coming around Jesus, and the disciples were saying, listen, it's getting late. Send them home. And Jesus said, no, we're not sending them home. We're going to feed them. And those tired disciples were called to go an extra mile. And I believe that God is calling you and I to the extra mile, to go to the state capitol, to gather together, get the word out, spread the word to your Facebook friends, your email list, everywhere, on YouTube, get the message out. It doesn't matter. We've got to get the message out as far as it could go. And as far as opposition is concerned, It does not matter. There will be no opposition that will thwart the purpose of God if the people of God do what God tells them to do. I believe this is likened unto a strategy in the days of Gideon, where he had 300 men. They had lanterns. They were lit. And at the same time, they broke the lanterns. The light shined. And they shouted with a great shout. And they overwhelmed a major enemy power. And I believe that God, yes, through a piece of clay, through a particle of dust, like myself, that God did something a year ago by showing me this dream, showing me Joe Biden would win, but showing me that he was in trouble. And in my prayer time, getting this information, going back to the Adonijah story, we're not plagiarizing, we're not taking this from people. I brought this out a couple of weeks ago through prayer. It is now going forth. People know it's a critical hour everywhere. The strategy, if we will humble ourselves and let Christ take the lead, the strategy, December 7th, 3 p.m., God's people all over this nation bowing their knee and then rising in holy conviction with a prayer, a word that will inaugurate and ordain in the spirit world by we the people. We will anoint the president. We will ordain the president. And when that is done and that sound shakes the earth, I believe everything else will be put in place. Everything else that needs to follow will follow. So this is what we are doing. Daniel Seckham asked me to have this interview with him tonight. He's still making his way to the pulpit. He's not back yet. I needed to start at 7 o'clock. So I'm utilizing some of our time just to talk about this very important issue. December 7th, 3 p.m. If you live in Ohio, get to your Ohio capital. If you live in Nebraska, get to your Nebraska state capital. If you live in Illinois, if you live in Missouri, if you live in Arkansas, if you live in Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Florida, wherever you live, Colorado, California, Arizona, Georgia, wherever you live, New Jersey, New York, Connecticut, Delaware, Massachusetts, wherever you live, Maine, get to your capital. If it turns out that there are 30 people there, praise the Lord. If it turns out there are 300 people there, praise the Lord. If it turns out 300,000 people are there, praise the Lord. If it turns out to be 1 million people at every capital, if 72 million people voted for the president, and they're saying it was more like 80 million, if 72 million people would cooperate and we would get this message out everywhere to those who voted the best we can, there could be 50 million people on December 7th at 3 p.m. with one clarion call at the Capitol buildings in every state. That would give us a remaining 22 million people, where some states don't have that many people. People could travel like we did to Washington, D.C., and go and supply the need there. Ladies and gentlemen, this needs to happen. The concern that I have had about this, because I believe I'm following the Spirit of God in this, is Ezekiel chapter 7, verse 14 and 15. The trumpet is blown, but no one goes out to the battle. And this is a problem. This is concerning. And having said that, I pray to God that this trumpet call to do this on December 7th at 3 p.m. will be heard by people all over this nation. We will step into it, giving no man glory, but every person doing what God has called us to do. And I believe that will be the answer to everything. Having said that, I see my brother Daniel is now with us. And boy, look how fresh he looks out there at 11 a.m. in the morning. Is it 11 a.m. for you, dear friend?
It's actually 19 past 12.
In the afternoon.
Yes.
Wow, look at you are bushy-tailed and bright-eyed, my friend. Daniel, we are talking about going on December 7th at 3 p.m. throughout this nation, 72 million people, and giving that Adonijah Solomon gig in 1 Kings chapter 1. This is the rallying cry. I believe in it with all of my heart. And God forbid that the trumpet would sound and the people would not go out to battle, because that would be a sign of the wrath of the Lord upon the people. I believe spiritual things will be accomplished. That's what we're doing. Talk to us. I heard something was going on in Australia that a whole state had shut down. What's going on from your end right now with this scheme and schematic of things going on around the world?
Yeah, there's lots going on. So basically, South Australia is still pretty much shut down. Victoria is still pretty much they've just opened the border between Victoria and New South Wales, which is great. But the premier down there in Victoria is still very, very cautious, still very, very heavy-handed in his approach. So yeah, still a lot of draconian measures going on down here. Every time I look at Sweden, the fact that they did not put their country into lockdown, and yet they actually fared quite well compared to other countries that did implement lockdowns, I think we're crazy. Lockdowns aren't working, and they are destroying small businesses. They are destroying, there's so much stuff that the lockdowns are affecting. One thing that is interesting, Vincent, is this, and this was information that actually, I think it was, let me see who it was. I think, here it is here. This is very, very interesting. But it says this. Dan Price said this. He said, Amazon profit is up 100%. Walmart profit is up 80%. Target profit up 80%. Lowe's profit up 74%. Microsoft, Facebook, Apple, Google stock at record high. Small businesses, get this, 21% closed. Revenue for the rest is down 30%. They're going to go extinct in the lockdown without help. And look this and check this out. Wealth increase in the pandemic for founder SEOs of Amazon, $91 billion. Walmart, $38 billion. Google, $37 billion. Microsoft, $33 billion. Facebook, $28 billion. Think about that. Are these elites, these multi-conglomerate corporations, they have done so well during these lockdowns. Do you think that they're ever going to push to end the lockdowns?
No way.
Absolutely not. Remember what Jesus said? He said that the love of money is the root of all evil. And this is what we're seeing. We're seeing that the small businesses, now, by the way, the left hate the middle class. They hate the middle class, and they want to destroy the middle class because they, for a number of different reasons. But small businesses represent the middle class. Small business, and this is that they are destroying these small businesses and forcing them to go into either food stamps or government handouts, which is forcing the government to again to become more and more into the practice of income redistribution. Major, major red flags going on.
Daniel, what do you know about the reset? What's everybody talking about a reset?
The reset has been in the works for many, many years. The reset is basically, the whole agenda is to remove representative government, to usurp national sovereignty, and to basically do away with capitalism and replace it with global socialism. There is nothing new under the sun. This is basically the desire of two organizations, the United Nations plus, but more importantly, the World Economic Forum. So this is basically the Great Reset is spearheaded by a German man named Klaus Schwab. His vision, his utopian vision is actually a nightmare. So what is interesting, Vincent, is that they are using the pandemic as a pretext. In fact, the Great Reset, I'll just see if I can actually read to you. I'll read to you an actual quote from Klaus Schwab. Here it is here, and this is what he says. He says that the pandemic represents a rare but narrow window of opportunity to reflect, reimagine, and reset our world. Mm. to reimagine and reset our world. But basically, they want to do away with nationalism. This is basically summed up as the Tower of Babel. This is the whole push, is to push the entire world into another Tower of Babel scenario. Remember that God's original mandate was for us to spread out and to populate the earth, and that nationalism was actually a God thing. God encourages nations. He was the one who planned nations. So they want to do away with all that. And the vision of the Great Reset is for all of us to become a global people, a one people to come together and to do away with economic barriers, national boundaries, and to for us to all become one monoculture with one global leader. And of course, the global leader, Klaus Schwab, sees himself as that global leader. What I think is interesting about Klaus Schwab is that this is the other disturbing vision that he has. He says that industrial revolution, which is what he which is basically the Great Reset, will lead to a fusion of our physical, digital, and biological identity. Let me read that again. He says that the fourth industrial revolution, also known as the Great Reset, will lead to a fusion of our physical, digital, and biological identity. Gosh, just incredible. But he says, he also says here, the fourth industrial revolution technologies will not stop at becoming part of the physical world around us. They will become part of us. He says, indeed, some of us already feel that our smartphones have become an extension of ourselves. Today's external devices, from wearing computers to virtual reality headsets, will almost certainly become implantable in our bodies and brains. Schwab also openly endorses something the media still claims is solely a domain of discussion for conspiracy theorists, namely active implantable microchips that break the skin barrier of our bodies. There you go. I mean, this is no longer the realm of conspiracy theorists anymore. This is what they are coming out plainly and telling us.
Wow, what an amazing bit of information. So it appears for the global community to achieve its goals that there are way too many people on the planet right now. How does that tie into Bible prophecy that by the time we get to that great tribulation, a huge portion of the population of the planet are actually eliminated off the face of the earth? Is that correct?
Correct. Correct. In fact, it's, I think it's one third of humanity. And that's a lot of people. That's a lot of people. So if we're talking
8 billion,
then you're saying approximately, gosh, is that 6.5? Oh, sorry, not six.
Yeah, when you actually look at it, I'm sorry, Daniel, for the interjection. When you actually look at it in Revelation chapter 6, a quarter of the population. Revelation chapter 9, a third of the population, you're getting to at 8 billion people, 4 billion people would be eradicated from the face of the earth for the purpose of global government being able to contain the people, right?
Yeah, correct. Correct.
Is that underway, do you think?
Well, this is their agenda. And look, they're not going to talk about what to do with people who dissent to this, because there will be millions, billions of people that will refuse to have anything to do with this. So what do they do with those people? That's the question, you know. And also too, Vincent, it just makes sense. The moment they come out and make this power grab, it will send stock markets crashing. I mean, economies will implode. And this will basically inevitably bring about like a famine like we have never, ever seen, which, by the way, makes sense when you consider the black horse of in Revelation in regard to the famine. So I believe what we are witnessing, what they are planning on doing. And remember, Agenda 21, which was part of the goal, is all about 2021. That's why it was called Agenda 21. So they want this implementation. And you know that the World Economic Forum have their conferences in, whenever they kickstart things, have major conferences in January. So all this is timed in regard to the inauguration, I think, which is particularly interesting. So I think they planned, listen, that the Democrats stealing the election was not just a Democrat thing. It was a globalist thing.
I agree.
It was a globalist thing. And they had to get rid of Donald Trump because he stood in the way. The United States, with Donald Trump at the helm, the globalists cannot proceed with their agenda. The United States military is the most powerful force on earth. But if they could actually nullify that, if they could steal the election, if they could install Joe Biden, then they could proceed ahead with that. Joe Biden is a weak, weak puppet. And when you look at his incoming transitional team, they're all globalists. I mean, they're all, even Peter Neffinger, who was the chairman of Smartmatic, is on Joe Biden's transitional team. Isn't that stunning?
Yes.
Yeah, so listen, this is a global thing. Now, when you think about that, the fact that they were so passionate and so intent to remove one man, now, doesn't that make you think about 2 Thessalonians chapter 2? It makes sense, doesn't it? And by the way, I'm not the only one suggesting this. Lance Wallner, in his book, The Chaos President, also says the same thing. Also says, and I was not aware of that until somebody pointed that out to me in a Zoom chat. They sent me a screenshot of actually the page in Lance's book where he actually mentioned the same thing. So I think there is a very strong case to be made that
is the restrainer, the U.S., and it's about to be taken out so that Antichrist can appear.
That is what it's looking towards. That is what it's looking towards. And it makes sense.
Absolutely.
The entire world is so passionate. I mean, I'm talking about the globalists are so intent to remove this person. It could represent America. It could represent America, America being removed out of the way as well. It could do that. And that makes sense too, because you know that the early church fathers, the patristic church fathers, the patriarchal church fathers, they all believed that the restrainer was referring to the dissolution of the Roman Empire. So considering that, so they thought it would happen that the Antichrist will be revealed with the removal of an empire. So I think they were onto something, except it wasn't the Roman Empire. It could very well be the American Empire. And so I think there's a very strong case to be made for that. Remove Donald Trump and the globalists will then be at play. I don't believe Biden is the Antichrist, nor do I, you know, but I think America will shrink away and they would yield their power, yield their authority to the rising Antichrist, the beast. It could be Bob, I don't know. I guess we can see.
So, Daniel, let me ask you this. Are you're more of the persuasion that the Antichrist will come out of the nation of Islam, where, you know, it'd be very easy to look at that great red dragon as China, seeing, you know, maybe President Xi being the one that gives power to the beast, the Islamic beast. What is your, if you were to put Revelation 13 together, what is your take on it?
Good question. And look, again, I still tend to believe that the Antichrist, that there will be an Islamic aspect about the Antichrist. And that's why I tend to think that it might not be Klaus Schwab. I think someone is actually being groomed behind the scenes. And I believe that there will be someone who has that Islamic aspect about them, but there will also be someone that could actually, that will have that leftist globalist aspect about them.
If I may just offer one thought, and people need to know this, when you talk about Muslim, we think about guys with towels on their head and all that stuff and long white robes. Barack Hussein Obama was exactly what you just described.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
He embraced it all. Communism, socialism, Islam.
He did. Look, another person is also like the London mayor as well. So, what was his name? Anyway, it's escaped me. But again, he's another example. Keith Ellison is another example. He's a Muslim. Mm-hmm. But there's many of them. There's many of these people, even Ilhan Omar. She's a great example, but obviously, you know, she won't be the Antichrist. But what I'm saying is that there are many examples of these people that embrace both the Islamic aspect as well as the leftist aspect. So, I believe that, remember that the Antichrist is going to hate the prostitute. Who is the prostitute? Well, you know what could happen, Vincent? And I'm being speculative here. This is pure conjecture. But what could happen is that the Biden administration does proceed. I believe Biden could be done away with, probably. In fact, they would probably use the 25th Amendment against him to remove him and then install Kamala Harris. You know, it's interesting. And again, God is all about making things obvious. The fact that America could be led by a woman, Kamala Harris, who only got her way up because of, I mean, you know about the whole sordid story about how she became the prosecutor. She basically slept her way to the top.
Correct.
So wouldn't that just be uncanny that America could be led by this woman who was literally prostituted herself? Mm. And I think that would be very symbolic of America, you know, and the fact that there would be that impending judgment. Therefore, that the Antichrist could very well, you know, as it says in Revelation 17, that he will hate the prostitute. He will hate America. He will hate and he will eat her flesh, bring her to her ruin and burn her with fire. So there is a case that could be made for that. I could be wrong. I could be completely wrong, but these are just things that we need to explore.
And it could be very right as well. And then what Kamala Harris does, if Joe Biden dies, is she needs a vice president. So she brings Barack Hussein Obama back in, which I believe is actually legal. I don't know. And then all of a sudden she goes bye-bye and he's back in power. Oh, my gosh.
Look, don't put anything past the left.
No.
I mean, we have witnessed over the past... What we have witnessed over the past 4 years, the brazen, the sheer audacious brazenness in which they tried to remove President Trump is just stunning. The fact that they proceeded with a partisan impeachment. I mean, we never thought that we'd ever see that happen. Although I think it was Thomas Jefferson actually spoke about that happening in the Federalist Papers, but that was really inconceivable, but it happened. And also when you looked at the Mueller investigation, all of the things that they have done, even Nancy Pelosi even discussed the 25th Amendment. Look, they are just over the top in their extreme brazenness in removing President Trump. That's why it's perfectly logical to suggest that they stole the election, and they did it more than one way. And that's what we will see come out over the next coming days with these lawsuits being filed. But, you know, these are some very real scenarios. So there you go.
All right, there you go. And so I believe this is a very critical time in the history of the world, because we're talking about the Antichrist, the biblical Antichrist, that has been spoken of from the beginning of time, is about to make landfall onto this earth and appearing. And that is going to necessitate a global great persecution. First of all, before he arrives, there's got to be an elimination of a huge swath of the human population, cut this thing at least into half, giving power to an organization that would rise with the satanic at the head of it, and then a persecution against those who are left that resist or stand against or have not received the mark of the beast. I mean, that is all coming at an accelerated pace at us right now, which means you and I have to learn how to stand strong in this hour.
It's happening so quickly. And look, we would never have expected to live. We would never have expected that we would see all this happening so quickly, but it is. But, you know, the same thing in regard to pre-Nazi Germany. If you were to say to the Germans in 1930 that within just 10 years that they would be under authoritarian rule with a leader intent on that who would declare war upon its surrounding nations, if you were to tell them in 1930 that this leader would actually carry out a genocide against the Jews, they would never have believed you. But it happened quickly. It happened very, very quickly. And it took very many, many people by complete surprise. They just did not expect that to happen. But it did happen. Again, very, very interesting.
It is very interesting. And I had my list still, Daniel, of what was said by the left-wing news media, called the 69 million people they said that voted for Donald J. Trump morons and maggots. They said that they needed to burn down the Republican Party. They said that all of the people that were voted into the Supreme Court need to be arrested and need to be punished. And they went on down to say a lot of really evil, bad things about the people that voted for Trump, stood for Trump. And so we see the four winds of persecution coming. And again, if we're not ready for this, if we are not made pressure-proof when the time of great pressure comes, tribulation, that will necessitate a great falling away, which is not a healthy thing right now.
Yeah, it's not a healthy thing. And look, this is why I make no apologies to speak up. You know, like there are some voices out there saying, look, you should just shut up, just accept the results, just be quiet. You know, don't carry on, because if you carry on, you're guilty of hearing. But I will not be quiet. I think every person, every righteous man and woman needs to take a stand and needs to start speaking up, because if they don't use their voice, they will lose their voice. Now, in saying that, I want to read to you an excerpt from Ian Kershaw's book on Hitler. And this is what he wrote, and I thought it was very, very interesting. Let me read to you this paragraph. It says, the radicalization encountered no opposition of any weight. Ordinary people who expressed their anger, sorrow, distaste, or shame at what had happened were powerless. Those who might have articulated such feelings, such as the leaders of the Christian churches, among whose precepts was love thy neighbor as thyself, they kept quiet. Neither major denomination, Protestant or Catholic, raised an official protest or even backing for those courageous individual pastors and priests who did speak out. And one of those was Dietrich Bonhoeffer. So it just goes to show, let me read that for you. Those who might have articulated such feelings, such as the leaders of the Christian churches, kept quiet. Isn't that sad?
Well, that's the proof of that Ezekiel chapter 7. The trumpet is sounded, but no man goes to battle because the wrath of the Lord is upon this people. That is an indictment.
It's a major indictment. It's a major indictment. And I'll just read to you also another very, very interesting quote. And this is actually from Mr. Art Katz. He was brilliant. And this is what he said. I'm going to read it to you. He says this, and he said this in 1986. He said, World War II may be over and Nazism may be defeated as a political and military entity, But the spirit powers that brought Nazism into being and moved through it to paganize and to destroy a nation and almost the entire civil world, those powers yet rule over the earth, waiting for their next opportunity to insert themselves into the affairs of men while the church sleeps.
Wow. And the church is sleeping. It's sound asleep. And you wonder, Daniel, do you get the sense that the church is awakening to the times that we're in right now? And when they wake up, do they know what direction to move in?
Well, when the bridegroom appeared in Matthew 25 in the parable of the 10 virgins, all of us were asleep. All of them were sleeping. That's an important point to make. Five of them were not prepared. Five of them did not have any idea that the night was going to be so long. Whereas the others, they trimmed their lamps, they had their oil, and they were okay. You know, to get put that into perspective, it's so funny because when we have this, when our societies have this inkling of impending disaster, what do we go and buy? Toilet paper. We stock up on toilet paper, which is so funny. I just think it's hilarious. And by the way,
pulled out. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And in fact, I saw this really funny joke where it said that in the end, the thing that destroyed the world was that in the end, mankind wiped themselves out, implying toilet paper. Yeah. But what I want to mention is that in the ancient world, you didn't stock up on toilet paper. You know what you stocked up on? Oil.
Amen.
Oil.
Amen.
That's really important because oil can be used for a number of different things. And oil can be used for cooking. Oil can be used for lighting the lamps. Oil can be used for a number of different things. And that's what they stocked up on. And those who know that there is going to be a long period of turmoil or chaos or tribulation, in the ancient world, they stocked up on oil. They had enough to last them through the night. So, that's what we need to be mindful of. We need to remind ourselves. We need to prepare ourselves for what's coming. And I'll give you another thing that I've been thinking about, Vincent. You know that there are so many incredible parallels when you look at the Passover story in Exodus chapter 1 up through to Exodus chapter 12. And it's got within that, and especially too, when you go back even further into Genesis, when you look at the story of Joseph, you know, Pharaoh had that dream and he couldn't have anyone to solve it for him. But then Joseph was able to solve it for him. And he basically, the interpretation of the dream was that there was going to be seven prosperous years of great prosperity. And then there will be 7 years of great famine. 7 years of great famine. And as we know that the scripture says in Isaiah, I think it's Isaiah 40 verse 10, you know, that I will reveal to you the end from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that we will see patterns from what we saw happen in Genesis reoccur at the end of days. I believe that God will ensure that there will be years of prosperity in which we can actually prepare ourselves, years of breakthrough, years of clarity in which we can prepare ourselves, and then there will be years following that will be of great, great famine. As we will see, as we discussed earlier in regard to the black horse with the famine, you know, we said a quarter of wheat will be worth a day's wages or something, I can't remember, but you know what I'm talking about. So that considered, let me put out another theory. And again, this is just me speculating. I'm not saying this is not a thus says the Lord. This is pure conjecture. Let's just say if Trump does win, let's just say if Trump does succeed at the Supreme Court and he's able to continue on with his administration, I have a hunch, and this is just a hunch, that he will not see out his 4 years but something will happen at the end of 3 years. In other words, there will be a total of 7 years of Trump's administration in which America is blessed by great prosperity and prosperity all over the world. Let's just say, hypothetically, if something happens and Trump is taken out, if Trump is removed, there is a big global upset, and then the Great Reset go ahead with their plans, I think it would be interesting, because it will, again, it will bring about that same pattern that we saw happening in Joseph with the 7 years of great prosperity and 7 years of famine. But look, that's just me talking out of my head. I could be completely wrong.
Yeah, but you talk out of your head pretty good. I think that's good thinking. And, you know, it could go either direction. Either we wake up on April 1st, 2021, and thus commences the Great Tribulation, because between now, this November 24th, today, and April 1st, who knows? That gives us December, January, February, March. 4 months is a lot of time for a lot of different things to be accomplished. And I really believe it's going to depend upon the spiritual position of the ecclesia, Daniel. I believe if the church does nothing right now, but sits back and watches and observes and said, well, I cast my vote and we don't do anything else, I don't think that is enough. And I think that we could be accelerated into this thing overnight. And I believe that the things that people are going, well, there has to be a temple and all these, that stuff could happen in 4 months. Nothing restrains anything from happening that quick. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. Things can happen. Things can turn on a dime. Like, things can just happen overnight. I mean, you can wake up the next morning and the world is completely different. The world has completely changed. In fact, my friend of mine, Daphne from the UK, she was saying for years, prophetically, that one day we will wake up and the world will be different. And that's exactly what actually has happened with the pandemic. So it's just... it's interesting. I think we could see a number of different interesting scenarios play out in the days ahead.
All right. So let me ask you this. The world is telling us, CNN, all the news media, it's Thanksgiving week. Don't travel around. You know, don't give thanks. Don't gather together in your homes. Enough of this. Don't travel. They're really trying to create a very bleak scenario. People are terrified, believe it or not. People are so terrified by what's going on with this whole thing. And what is your take on it? I mean, you guys celebrate Thanksgiving, don't you?
No.
You have no Thanksgiving, no turkeys,
no Thanksgiving.
No birds, nothing?
Nope. It's really sad, Vincent, because we have over the past five years, we've taken on Halloween. And I don't want Halloween. I mean, if we're going to adopt an American holiday, give me Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it's delicious.
Yeah, give me Thanksgiving. I'll take Thanksgiving any day. And so it's just really, really sad how we've adopted that. But look, the left thrive on chaos. They have to have a scenario of chaos, because that is how they move forward with their revolution. They cannot have their revolution without chaos. And that's why they will not let go of this pandemic. They will refuse to let go of this pandemic. That's why the whole news of hydroxychloroquine and zinc being used as a powerful
remedy.
Treatment for coronavirus, it was shut down. I mean, the globalists in the deep state and in the big tech, they all came out and they shut it down. They shut it down. Because they knew that it's effective. They know it's effective, but they don't want it to get out, because it meant that the pandemic would be over and would be back to normal. And they don't want that. They absolutely have to have the pandemic to give them the atmosphere and the environment of chaos. Now, Saul Alinsky, even though he didn't say it verbatim, but he always taught along these lines. And that is never let a crisis go to waste.
That's right.
Never let a crisis go to waste. And that is why they will never let go of this pandemic, because it benefits them way too much. It is manna from heaven to the left, and they will not let go of it.
And like God gave power to the Assyrians because judgment was coming upon the nation of Israel, God will give power to the enemies of his own people to wake us up, to discipline us, to straighten us out and get us moving in the right direction.
Yep. Yeah, definitely. In fact, I would actually even say that there are a number of different reasons. In fact, I think I mentioned them previously on your show, and I mentioned a bunch of different reasons why they are pushing ahead with these lockdowns. Number one, as I explained earlier, it's a massive war upon the middle class. It destroys the middle class. It empowers the globalist elite, like all the big multi-million-dollar woke companies. It powers them, but it destroys the middle class. And that's what they want. The left have to destroy the middle class to push ahead with their agenda. The other thing that it does is that it shuts down the church. Have you noticed that in San Diego, they are permitting strip clubs to stay open, but churches have to remain closed? So strip clubs can open, but churches have to remain closed. I mean, when you look at the double standards, it's just mind-blowing. There is an agenda to shut down the church. But listen, Christianity is the number one enemy of the left. Leftists know that. They hate conservative Christians. And what a great excuse to declare war upon the church than this pandemic. So it gives them another great reason to do that. The other reason is because they can use the whole pandemic as an excuse to say, well, look, capitalism isn't working. Capitalism isn't incompatible with this new world that we're living in. And this is the exact argument that the proponents of the Great Reset are using. They're saying, listen, we need a Great Reset. Capitalism, the way that we used to live, isn't going to, you know, that is the old world. We're living in a new world now, a new reality, and we need a new system. And that's what they're going to go with. So
let me just interject quickly. And what we see in that worldview in Oregon, the legalization of crystal methamphetamine, the legalization of heroin, the legalization of cocaine. They have legalized every drug for recreational use. And so you have a bunch of people getting strung out. The governments will give them their needles. They'll be in the parks. They'll have their heroin parks like they did over in Europe. People will be using, money will be funding their drug habits. And what happens? Revelation chapter 18, by their sorceries, their pharmakia, drugs, were all nations deceived.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Crazy.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Precisely. So that gives you a bit of an idea why they're not going to let go of it. They're not going to let go of it anytime soon. And furthermore, another major reason, people are making so much money. Like I mentioned to you before about the big conglomerate multinational companies that are making money, like the Amazons and the Walmarts are making all this money. But the pharmaceutical companies are making billions, absolute billions. And there's no way that they would actually let go of this. There's no way that they would say, well, you know what? There's no point in us manufacturing this vaccine. Listen, if you just use hydroxychloroquine and zinc, which costs next to nothing, then you'll be fine. They're not going to say that. They're not going to say that because they need to appease their shareholders. They need to line their pockets. Once again, what did Jesus say? He said that the love of money is the root of all evil. The love of money is the root of all evil. And a lot of what we're seeing happening in 2020 is precisely because of that. Look at what's happening in your elections, right? You know that they've found that there have been election officials and even politicians, both Democrat and Republicans, that have taken money from China to not speak up about the vote. China has been paying, and including Governor Kemp in Georgia. In fact, him as well as the Secretary of State down in Georgia have been busted for taking money from China. Again, they don't care. That's why they're trying to certify the results. They're trying to certify the Georgian results. They don't care. Why? Because he's getting his bank account filled up from China. It's just incredible the fact that they will sell out their country, that they will stab their own country in the back for some spare change. Again, what did Jesus say? The love of money is the root of all evil.
And that is the truth of the matter. And it's sad that without the knowledge of Jesus Christ, without the knowledge of Scripture, the delusion and the deception the masses are really under, because they're just being used as sheeple, as cattle, as, you know, just for merchandise. And that's really unfortunate. And those of us who are looking at this through a biblical lens that are awakened by the grace of God and the Holy Spirit, we're realizing, well, wait, right now it looks like the enemy, the rich people are getting richer, and they're laughing and they're mocking and they're scoffing. But we also know that by the word of God, their day of accountability will come, that the woe will come upon this earth. And I believe that terrible woe, you know, is getting very, very close, and probably closer than any of us could ever dream, Daniel.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And this is what they're aiming for. And again, America is in the spotlight. They have got to pull down America in order for all this to take place. And by the way, if I could mention something that Karl Marx said, I was stunned when I saw him make this comment. And this is what he said: wipe North America from the map of the world and you will have anarchy, the complete decay of modern commerce and civilization. Marx said that. Marx isn't a prophet, neither is he inspired, but the fact that he actually understood that if you were to bring about chaos, mass chaos worldwide, then you have to bring down the United States.
And that's what's happening right now all over the world. Just like Jesus said, there would be nation rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There would be commotion, chaos, confusion. And it's all happening, Daniel, all around the world. Every word that Jesus Christ ever spoke is happening before our eyes. The question is, what do we do about it? How do we prepare?
Well, number one, watch and pray. We need to watch with what's going on, and we need to pray. Stay in the Word. A great book, and this is one particular book that we're doing a study through at the moment, and that's the book of Daniel. What I love about that particular book is that half of the book is just a practical manual with examples of how to live in a hostile, by the way, how to live literally in Babylon, how to live in Babylon. Think about that. But it's a manual on how to live in a society that is hostile towards God. That's practical. I mean, look at the story of how Daniel refused to partake of the king's meat and the king's wine. He refused. He refused to compromise because he knew that the king's meat was actually sacrificed to idols. He refused to do that. So he went with vegetables and water instead. And at the end of this period of time, he was shown to be healthier. Look, there was example after example. You know, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, these guys, they refused to kneel. They refused to take the knee. They refused to take the knee. They refused to put up the fist. Of course, I'm speaking figuratively. But they refused to bow. They refused to bow. And because of that, they paid a price. And they said, look, throw us in the fire. But look, even if God doesn't save us, they said, our God can save us. But even if he doesn't, we will not bow the knee. So they refused to compromise. And again, the great story of Daniel, who prayed every day. And he would not stop, even if it meant that he was going to be turned in because of snitches. Some snitches were going to dob him in, but he still prayed. He would not compromise. He would not change his prayer life because of what the world was saying. So Daniel is a great practical book to help us living in spirit in Babylon, in mystery Babylon, and how to not compromise. I think that's powerful. We need to keep our eyes on the Lord. We need to stay in prayer, stay in our devotions, and don't compromise that relationship with the Lord. Don't allow also too politics to overwhelm you. Keep your eyes firmly planted on Jesus. Keep your eyes firmly planted on Jesus. Now, I want to read to you another particular quote, and this is by a man called Francis Frangipane, which you've obviously heard. You've definitely heard of him. And this is what Francis Frangipane said, which I think is very, very pertinent. One moment. Here, he says, our primary purpose in life must be to abide in Christ. We can become so consumed with the deterioration, we could become so consumed with the deteriorating condition of the world that we fail to see the deteriorating condition of our own soul.
Wow. Wow. Amazing. What an amazing thought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's not lose focus. Let's keep our eyes on the Lord and let's remain productive. Let us continue to work while we have daylight, because night is coming when no man can work.
Amen, Daniel. I'll tell you what, I appreciate you once again coming on, bringing the education that you do. You brought up some amazing facts today, a lot of biblical truth. Thank you so much for doing it, Daniel Second. We appreciate you. And we're so glad you were able to do it at 12 noon rather than 3 a.m. And you got your whole day ahead of you. We're going to go ahead and put this up tomorrow. We'll record this broadcast, and we'll just wish you farewell and God bless you, sir. Anything else on your heart you'd like to share?
Not really. Only just continue to pray. Continue to pray, by the way, for Trump's legal team, because they're under enormous pressure. Pray for Sidney Powell. Pray for Rudy Giuliani. Pray for Jenna Ellis. Pray for Lynn Wood. All the attorneys who are associated with the legal team, continue to hold them up in prayer, because they will be under enormous pressure. So we need to pray for them.
Amen. Amen. Keep on praying. Remember, December 7th, 3 p.m. throughout the United States. Daniel, we'd appreciate your prayers to awaken the people to just do one simple thing on December 7th at 3 o'clock. Humble contrition. Confession, rise in holy conviction, declare the president of the United States, Donald J. Trump, allow that spiritual shaking to shift everything where it needs to be, and let the officials finalize all of that in due season. All right, my brother, God bless you. Thank you so much. We appreciate you.
Bless
now
you.
I'm tired. You got me at nighttime, and it's not even 3 a.m. And by the way, I needed to ask you this. Have you ever had a Thanksgiving dinner?
No. The only time I did, actually, was when Daryl and Sue put one on for me. It wasn't Thanksgiving, but they thought they'd bless me with a Thanksgiving dinner anyway. So Daryl and Sue actually did that while I was there a few years ago.
Okay. Well, we need to have you. You need to be at a real Thanksgiving dinner during Thanksgiving when families come together and celebrate what and how this nation was formed, and what an amazing celebration it really is. And I could understand why the left doesn't want us gathering together, because it just refreshes the fire.
Yeah, man.
All right, brother.
Amen.
We'll have to get you out here in November. God bless you. We'll talk to you soon. Have a good rest. Shalom. All right. That's Pastor Daniel Seckham. Everybody's calling him Pastor. I'm going to join the chorus. Pastor Daniel Seckham, joining us all the way from Australia. I'm Vincent Xavier. You've been listening to The Watchman here on Omega Radio, Blog Talk Radio, Facebook, and YouTube. I'll see you tomorrow, 9 a.m. right here. Until then, shalom. God bless you.